Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. He is a veteran of the Montgomery County Police Department. Now, Marcus Jones is the new cop at the top, but he takes over during a critical time for the department when officers are under increased scrutiny by citizen smartphones and elected leaders. And tonight, we are talking with Chief Jones in his first interview on the Daily Drum. If you have a comment or a question for the new Montgomery County Police Chief, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And by the way, this is part one of a two-part interview focusing on issues in Montgomery County. Tomorrow, we will talk to County Executive Mark Elrich. Chief, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me, Harold.
So let's talk about how you got here. You've only been on the job for about 4 weeks. So first, congratulations.
Thank you.
You were not the county executive's first choice. Why do you believe this job was so difficult to fill?
Well, I think there was a feeling throughout the community and some within the executive's administration and the executive that felt like there was a need to change the leadership at the top. And there was a big push for that. And I think that was really sort of a driving force to where we are today. That attempt didn't go, I guess, as planned. So there was an opportunity, I guess, because I was still there to still offer me the opportunity to lead this department.
There were questions, as you just suggested, about leadership after Chief Manger left, after he retired. From your perspective, what does a change in leadership to improve the Montgomery County Police Department actually look like?
Yes. I mean, you know, Chief Manger had been had led our department for 15 years. And therefore, there were changes that were made throughout that 15-year period. But, you know, you had leadership that was typically what our officers and what the community had grown accustomed to in many fronts. And a change in leadership from a perspective of what was going to be different had to, I think, come from where the community had a stronger desire for more community engagement. They wanted more of that to be shown and demonstrated. There was, again, the highest amount of accountability, I think, which is required by our community, and that they felt like that there needed to be more of that. And so, therefore, I would say, you know, I have been committed to that vision for quite some time, even though I was not the leader of the organization at the time. But I understand clearly and understood where people were coming from with those expectations.
What do you mean by that? That you understood what they were where they were coming from?
Well, there are those in our community who have had a lack of trust for in policing throughout the history in Montgomery County for many years. This is not new, and I think at the end of the day, in policing, it's much of a challenge to be able to build trust and to gain it, and for people to understand both sides of issues. I've been in the community for 34 years, so I'm very aware of the issues that concern policing in Montgomery County and policing across this country, particularly when it comes to minority issues along the way, having been involved in many different aspects of policing and advocacy groups and beyond. So with that being said, I clearly understood that there was this, there was this lack of trust that exists, and there's a need for us to be able to try to develop relationships in order to build that. And if we, you know, we can go to our social media corners, I might, as I state in many cases, and state our case, but we don't talk to each other, and we don't get to understand each other on both sides of the issues. And I think that's what I'm going to really work hard at bringing to the table, because we have that community that in some cases need us the most but trust us the least, because some of our communities are in a state where there might be higher crime issues in that particular community, but again, there's a lack of trust with law enforcement, and we have to change that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I am talking to Chief Marcus Jones. He is the new police chief in Montgomery County, Maryland. If you have a comment or a question, please give us a call. We will take your calls as they come in. You said something interesting. You've been with the department for 34 years. When you kind of look back over your time as an officer, all the way up until now, how has the department change? What is the thing that has surprised you the most in the evolution of the department during these past 34 years?
Wow, that's a pretty loaded question, because I will tell you there are lots of changes in the 34 years. And I'll start with the personnel. Our department looks a lot different today in 2019 than it did when in 1985 when I walked through the doors. I think at the time I walked through, there were probably around 750 officers throughout Montgomery County. Today, we're close to 1,300. You know, I think women have a more extensive role in law enforcement today than they did clearly 34 years ago. I think there's a lot more opportunities that have been given and earned by many minority officers throughout our county, even though, again, I always think that we can always do better, improving from a, you know, there are challenges that are out there. But I think it from that perspective, that we look at entirely a lot different and that serve all throughout the county. I mean, there's the immigrant community in many cases, and the Latino community, and the Asian community. All those communities have grown, and our community has grown. I mean, here we are now, 1.1 million people that live in Montgomery County. And, you know, that's probably 300 plus thousand people than when I first came here and on this job. So again, a lot of changes. The technology world has changed in policing and all across the, you know, with just the access to the internet. And, you know, with that, with just those life changes and traffic and all of those things, I think have made Montgomery County look a lot different than it did when I first came on.
Have you been able to keep up with those changes?
I think in some cases, yes, and in some cases, no. I think, you know, when it comes to the amount of officers that in order to be able to better serve our community, I think we are a little bit behind the curve. We have one of the lowest officer to citizen ratios across in the country. Though we have a safe community, but I think there's still opportunities for us to do a lot more out in our community to better serve. So with that aspect, I would say the answer would be no. But I think in some other regards, the answer is yes. We have been able to keep up with some things as it relates to the technology world, and Montgomery County being a very progressive place from that perspective, and a lot of resources that are provided to our department that assist us in a lot of things as it relates to public safety in our community.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones. He's been on the job for a month, and we want to talk about what his vision is for the County Police Department going forward. Let's talk to Terry. Terry, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Terry. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, first of all, I want to wish the Chief congratulations as well.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And I just have a question. I can recall back in my earlier years, I once even tried to get with the force, I can recall Montgomery County being one of the hardest police departments to get hired with. If you got on there, it was a coveted job and you stayed there. But today, you know, there's a hiring challenge across all, you know, hiring crisis around all jurisdictions. And I'm just interested in how the county is going to be able to to put themselves ahead of the competitive jurisdictions in terms of hiring officers?
That's a great question, and thanks, Terry. I will tell you that is one of the highest priorities that I have in the recruiting challenges of today for law enforcement. We have come up with some strategies in order to really go after and really try to find and recruit some of the best candidates available. And one of the ways that we're trying to do that is really to try to focus on our homegrown talent, you might say, of individuals that live in Montgomery County or are close by in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. And we're offering programs such as that we brought back that we had in the 70s, and we let it go in the early 80s, called the Police Cadet Program. And what that program starts is where we actually bring in candidates who are in college or in trying to pursue their degrees, and we are paying them a part-time salary while they are going to school in order to earn their degrees and be able to earn the at least the minimum qualifications, if not the a full degree, in order to join our force. And that we've had some success with that. But we've got some other challenges, and we are, again, you know, we are wanting to hire, and it's a very competitive area here in the Washington, D.C. and Maryland corridor in Virginia to really find the best candidates and to grab them quickly. And we're just, again, working on strategies in order to do that, to bring the best talent here.
Terry, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Chief Marcus Jones of the Montgomery County Police Department. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are, of course, open. This has been a really, arguably a very bumpy year for the department, not just for yourself wanting the position and then not being considered and kind of the back and forth, but, you know, just for the rank and file officers. You had the N-word incident with a female officer. You had an officer who was also caught on camera, being rough, for lack of a better term, with a drug suspect. First and foremost, about the N-word incident, where are we with that? Has there been resolution with that? Or
so no, the case is being administratively handled at this point in time. We are, I think, getting very close to the end of the investigative phase of that particular case. But there is a what we would call a judicial phase to it once the determination has been made of the charges, any administrative charges against the officers that were involved in that particular incident.
Who has final say in something like that?
So what happens is in this type of case, if the charges are levied against the officer has these options. The options are that they could accept the finding of the review panel and that's administered by me at the end of the day, and then they make a recommendation for punishment, for discipline. And then I will agree, or I may increase or decrease depending upon the severity of that particular charge. And then if the officer accepts that, then it's there's closure. But if the officer wants to go to trial, then the officer does have that right.
Is this an administrative trial?
It's an administrative trial. Mm-hmm. That is correct. And so there are in Maryland, under the Law Enforcement Officer's Bill of Rights, there is this, you know, that the officer has the ability to go to trial. It would be, the public could come to that trial when it would be announced when that would be. And then, therefore, the officer would then face charges, and then there would be a panel that would make a finding of whether it's the officer is guilty or not guilty of those charges.
So this happened in May. This is now December. How much of an investigation is really needed?
So we go pretty extensive and deeply. Many times our administrative investigations from an internal standpoint, from internal affairs, we have, you know, approximately six investigators that work in that division, and they handle a lot of cases, and this is just not the only case that they would handle. So they're sort of the cases are in queue. But here we had a case, I think, that involved somewhere up at around 8 to 9 police officers that were at the center of this investigation. So we have to come in. We have to bring them in, interview them. We interview all of the witnesses that are involved in the incident as well. We brought them in. And then the investigators then will provide the finding, all of those facts, put those facts together with any visual tapes or audio tapes that we have with the body worn cameras. We have to review all of the camera footage that's involved with all of the officers involved. So it takes a lot of legwork. There's a lot of work that goes behind that. And sometimes these cases may take us, 10 to 11 months, sometimes, depending upon the severity of it, for us to be able to get to a place that we come to, a place where the findings occur, and then the officer has to make their decision about whether they accept the charges or not.
Still seems like there's quite a bit of work ahead on that.
Yes.
Thank you for that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Chief Marcus Jones. He is the new chief of police in Montgomery County. We are still taking your phone calls even after 7:30. That includes Denise calling from Silver Spring and Ilsa calling from Montgomery County. Please do not hang up. We're going to take your phone calls next. You will be able to hear the program. And as I said, lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, and I'm sitting down with the new Montgomery County Police Chief, Marcus Jones. This is part one of a two-part conversation focusing on Montgomery County. Tomorrow, we will talk to County Executive Mark Elrich. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Denise, calling from Silver Spring. Denise, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. First of all, congratulations and much success in your new position.
Thank you.
However, I live on Roby Road off of Briggs Cheney, and there is a building there that houses a lot of Montgomery police vehicles. But in that little building, there's no one there, so it makes you feel as though you're being protected, but there's no one in that building. And they're getting ready to build a 62-plus senior community there. So we're wondering, how are they going to be protected? Or will Montgomery finally put some polices in that facility? Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that. And that was a substation that we had developed in Montgomery County when the third district, Silver Spring District, was located down off of Sligo Avenue about 5 years ago. And if you remember, we just built a brand new police station that is at 29 and New Hampshire Avenue. So it brought the police station to the middle of the police district, you might say. As county government has grown, there was sort of a need for, and while we had built that station and it was much more convenient for the officers from the Briggs Cheney area to be able to go down to White Oak to handle their business. Therefore, we gave up that space because there was some needed growth in that the East Regional East County Regional Center for some programs with Montgomery College, and that's why that was one of the reasons we gave it the space. The reason why the police cars are parked there is because we have some officers that live outside of Montgomery County, and that is a county parking lot that we have been that we utilize for our government vehicles to be parked there. So we will have to work with the regional center as this new 62 plus apartment community is being constructed. But I will tell you, they will be protected. There's no doubt in my mind that, in fact, there's another senior living apartment complex that's right next to the brand new police station. It's actually we share a parking lot to some degree. But I will promise you that we'll have folks that will be out in that area at Roby Road and Briggs Cheney.
Denise, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you so much.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Montgomery County. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Congratulations to you, sir. That's first and foremost.
Thank you.
My next thing is the racial profiling in Montgomery County area, especially in the area where I live, is out of control. I don't know if you know about that or if you're any inkling about it, but it is. It's out of control. And I'm just trying to find out, is that something that you all are going to put some kind of heels on so we can make sure that that doesn't continue to go on in this area?
Right. So one of the things that I do plan to do in the very near future is that I am, in fact, we're meeting with an external audit company to look at our practices in Montgomery County, our policing practices. And part of that is traffic stops as it relates to racial profiling, the allegations. So I want to be able to have an external view on what we do and how we do it and to be able to share that with our community. And then we're going to take the findings of that audit when that is completed, and we are going to really dissect it in a way for us to look at our practices and how can we change and do better in policing in Montgomery County. So I promise you it's something I'm taking very seriously, and we're going to take a look at it to see exactly how this is overall impacting all of our community.
Lisa, thank you so much for your phone call. To that point, how might you believe that something like that racial profiling can be addressed? This is not something that is specific to Montgomery County. Every police department, big and small across this country, is addressing or trying to address this issue.
Yeah, you know, I think what somewhat has changed, I think, that gives us some insight is the use of the body-worn camera. And now when we have citizens who make allegations that they feel as if that they were racially profiled, we have a better inside view on the conversations, the actual interaction with our officers. And we can also look at our officers from a standpoint that we get these complaints from citizens that might say that this one particular officer or a group of officers are doing this, continuously. And therefore, it gives us an opportunity to actually look at the traffic stops that they're making. We have a lot more statistical data that we can look at than we had before. And I think with those tools that they actually help us to be able to dissect some of these issues and any wrong behavior that are exhibited by our officers in a much better way than we've had in the past.
What part might cultural competence play in this? This seems to be
right.
An issue, specifically cultural competence, that police departments are having to face.
Yes, and to me it goes to several issues. One would be, for example, implicit biases. We are working in our training division to train all of our officers, both the veterans and the incoming officers, on dealing with these implicit biases as well as any other biases that they might have, because we have to understand we are in a very culturally unique community in Montgomery County with so many different cultures. And we have to be culturally aware, and we have to understand where people are coming from on in their experiences that they've had over the course of time, that sometimes our officers may have some, you know, may feel like, well, that didn't happen when I was, you know, because I'm a young guy, that might have happened back in the civil rights era or, you know, back in the 70s. But we try to explain to them, no, the reality is that these accusations, you know, are still, we see that these behaviors can still happen in our police departments and across all forms of government in reality, in everyday policing. So we want to make sure that they understand and they're well equipped with understanding that they have these biases, as we all do, and we have to be fully aware of them in order to be able to do our jobs better.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nate, calling from Prince George's County. Nate, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, sir? I had a question for the chief of police, but I wanted to ask if it's possible to ask the question offline.
Say that again?
Is it possible to ask the question offline?
It may be. We don't... You need to, that's a really good question. How can someone ask you a question or contact you directly? Do you have some kind of avenue where somebody can email you, sure, ask the chief, something like that?
Absolutely. So I have an email address that can be contacted. You can always go to our website and click on it, but I will give it to you. It is MCPD chief at Montgomery, spelled out, county spelled out, md.gov.
One more time, please.
MCPD chief at Montgomery County md.gov. And I'll be glad, and I will, whatever question you have, we can communicate that way, and we can get your question answered.
And also, Nate, that email address will also be posted on the Daily Drum page for this particular interview, just like all of the interviews and podcasts will, the information will also be there in the event that you need to make a reference. But thank you so much, Nate, for that phone call. One of the other things that I wanted to ask about, and this is something that we're dealing with in the D.C. metro quite a bit, is the issue of about trafficking of young girls. And this is my question. A few weeks ago, there was a young girl who ran away. Mm. And, I mean, that's what happened. She ran away. Prior to finding her, social media blew up. News organizations, including ours, covered this, you know, within that 24-hour news cycle quite extensively. How do you balance the horrific threat of sex trafficking of young girls with the number of young people who just run away?
Yeah, it's a great question, Harold. It's a really tough balance. I will tell you that we have investigators who deal with runaways on a daily basis, and I will tell you in Montgomery County, runaways are a problem, and we deal with this, and especially, unfortunately, more young girls run away than our boys do. And again, it always, I tell you, we put out an all effort to really speak to family members when we get these reports in, and to really put our resources together, and particularly in the cases where we think potentially that someone might be involved in some sort of a sex trafficking situation. And it is difficult because, you know, for the most part, some of the kids just run away and it becomes commonplace, and they'll, and we will do extensive investigations, even in interviews with them, even once we locate them, to kind of find out reasons why. What, you know, is it just because of family, or is it because something that's pulling them somewhere else to try to get them to be involved in that? And so we pay close attention to that, because I tell you, we know that in many of our communities, there are issues with sex trafficking, that go on, that go after young girls in particular. And they could be, prone to that in a negative way. So we want to make sure that we are trying to provide them all of the resources available with our Special Victims Investigations Division in order to prevent that.
One of the other things that has come up recently is the so-called Blue Lives Matter flag.
Right.
A citizen donated a flag that is similar to the American flag, but it has this blue line. And this isn't, no pun intended, this isn't black and white. This
right.
is a very politically charged situation. It has been politically charged for the county executive. It has been politically charged for you. The governor has stepped in. Talk to me about your position about that, and how do you address this, the policing and the politics, particularly when you have the state's chief executive breathing down the neck of your boss
right.
about this.
Yeah, this has been a tough one. So we begin the story where we have a young boy and his father who literally provide us with a flag for what was to be celebrated as National First Responders Day. This had nothing to do with the Blue Lives Matter movement. The flag was there, was distributed in the sense that it was a replica flag that really comes from an organization called a movement called the Thin Blue Line Movement, which again is separate from Blue Lives Matter. Blue Lives Matter, I guess as a center of the history of it, sort of really caught its legs in the Charlottesville incident, and really was very negative against the Black Lives Matter movement, which is where people found that to be quite offensive in that regard. So again, understanding the feelings on both sides, where you have officers on the Thin Blue Lives Matter movement who really feel, that it's something that they embrace so much with the flag. But the flag was, again, hijacked by the Blue Lives Matter folks. And so, therefore, we had this major conflict about whether or not the flag should be displayed in the police station or not. And so with my advice to the county executive really was to talk, and I understood the feeling of the community as related to the Black Lives Matter movement, clearly very sensitive to that and understanding of that. I just wanted us to all realize that there was this issue that started with this young man who provided us with this gift, that was not the intention of the gift. And I thought that we could easily put a sticker on or some sort of message on the actual that stated why it was given and a reason it was given. But that's where we are as related to that really has created really some divisiveness in the county, and in the state of Maryland when you had the governor who has shown his support for law enforcement across the board. And so I think that created a bigger win, of course, with him being a Republican and our county executive being Democrat. So I think that's, again, part of the issue. But, that's where the matter lies.
You didn't want that flag displayed at the Germantown station or any station. Why not just say the only flags we're going to display are the American and the American flag and the Maryland state flag?
Right.
Is that oversimplifying?
In some ways, yes. I think the other matter was, I think the officers, one of the things that we wanted to do, and we're still in the midst of doing, we're working with the union as well as with Mr. Elridge in order to really come up with some more defined about what can be displayed and what can't be displayed. Again, and I think that we need to be really clear on that so that there's no misunderstandings of this to come in the near future. So if there's some new organization that comes up with something different and, you have another group again who might feel offensive if that is placed up in any county government facility, then we'll be able to clearly define or rely on a policy that can hold water. So we're really going to focus on a policy, whether, you know, what can be displayed on police cars, what can be displayed on any, the officer's uniform, all of those things. So we make sure that we're not showing any offense to any person in our community.
You've been on the job for 4 weeks, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of lay out at least as much as you can. Once you were confirmed by the county council and you went back to your office on the very first full day, what was your number one aim, plan, and how do you plan on carrying that out?
Well, the first thing I have to do, I'm in a very unique spot that no other police chief, I think, in Montgomery County, at least I know, has ever been in. And I have to put into place 4 new assistant chiefs. We have had over the past year, literally retirements of 2 assistant chiefs and then Chief Manger, which created this third, which with me being now named chief, created the openings in our senior executive staff. So I'm working now with Mr. Elrich in order to be able to name those individuals and then to make some promotions, because we've had some retirements and those promotions have to be made in order to really get our senior folks and get the organization, in my opinion, get it stabilized. So that's number one. But number two, now I've got to be able to really kind of connect with our different communities. And that's what I've been doing sort of right from the very beginning. Since being named, in fact, I've been really meeting with several different organizations throughout the county, as well as many other governmental partners and county council members and the like, all throughout, and different community groups, in order to really kind of lay out and talk to them about my vision for the police department and where we're going to go and how we're going to do some things to work with the community and increase our community engagement out in our outreach in many parts of our county, and in order to grow that. But also to really kind of grow our police department, because we've got some changes that have to come about because of this, the impact of the workload that the current workforce is facing. And I've got to really work hard to really get our folks in order to be able to better serve our community in a much more efficient way.
In making sure that your senior executive staff is in place, one of the things that, at least from a media standpoint, that, and I don't know whether this is good or bad, it just is, that Prince George's County and the District of Columbia has had for years very high profile senior executive staff, commanders, assistant chiefs, who, when stuff hits the fan, you don't always necessarily see Chief Newsom or Chief Stawinski. You may see the people that are immediately under them. Do you think that is a good thing to have high profile senior executive staffs? And if so, why?
So I do think that. I think that in many cases, for example, I would say like our commanders of our district stations who really oversee the community that they serve more from a more direct manner. And those are the commanders that are going out, the captains that are going out and having direct contact with their community members, with the homeowners associations, with the different types of organizations that are within the community that have, that talk with the commanders on a frequent about public safety issues in that district. So I think it is increasingly important for us to start to give those commanders exposure, because you're also building them to become the next level of assistant chiefs, as well as in some cases chiefs. And we've had a great success in growing many of our assistant chiefs who have gone on to be chiefs of other departments across this country. And so I've got to be able to mentor, develop And bring along those, again, starting with my assistant chiefs, so my community gets to know them better as well, to give them much more exposure. And that's a plan that will be forthcoming once we get everybody in place and we get stabilized.
What's the long-term plan and vision for the county?
So I think from my aspect of it, from a long-term plan, is to really – to really focus on a lot of issues as it relates to legitimacy and policing, about the things that we do that has legitimacy reasons behind it, that we're not just because you have the power of arrest, for example, and to handle certain situations doesn't mean always arrest is the answer to the problem for that particular situation. So what I want us to do is to really increase that. And to really grow upon that, I want us to continue to grow in our de-escalation policy and really kind of bringing down to the best of our abilities the amounts of use of force that we have to sometimes there's no, you know, we don't have a choice. But there's cases where I think we do have the ability to really de-escalate some issues and really come forth with that. So that's something that I really want us to focus on. And again, to maintain our goal and to really work harder at growing this trust in our community, as that has to be a major goal for us to increase that confidence that the community has in our police department.
Every municipality is the same, and every municipality is unique. From your perspective, and again, this you may put on your historical hat or look at where things are right now or a mix of both, but what is it that is the biggest threat to public safety, perhaps in Montgomery County, that you believe may not be an issue in Fairfax or Stafford or Prince George's or Charles or Baltimore County? What is the problem that is or challenge that may be unique to Montgomery County?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's so much unique. I mean, I think it's unique in some regards that other jurisdictions may not face, I guess, because we deal with it consistently. But, you know, traffic safety, for example, and pedestrian safety is something that continuously, you know, in our county, we have more traffic fatalities than we have homicides. And that may not be the case in, for example, like Prince George's County, or the District of Columbia or some other jurisdictions. I'm not sure, but I will tell you that's something I think that when we look at it from a safety standpoint, that's a major issue for us as it relates to that.
Please continue with that, because now that I just think about this anecdotally, this has been a really rough year when you're talking about traffic deaths in the county this year and last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we look at where we thought we were on a downward slide maybe about 3 years ago, and now we're starting to see this in this increase. Pedestrians, again, probably being almost half of those traffic fatalities. Again, a major concern as we focus on programs such as Vision Zero that, you know, the state of Maryland, of course, and many of our other partners are participating in, and we're really wanting to get there, but we've got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of engineering. There's a lot of roadways that we really need to look at in a different manner to provide better safety mechanisms for our citizens all across the board.
What do you believe is causing this? Because I'm just kind of thinking back about some of the press conferences that the county executive has had, some of the community press conferences or community activists who have kind of they've been ringing the bell about this. Is it that are people just in too much of a hurry? Are pedestrians not using crosswalks? What's going on?
I think there's a combination of those things, Harold. When I look at it, you know, again, we talk about technology where we are today, but there's a lot of distractions going on in our vehicles daily, right? And we know that as it relates to our cell phones, we still really want to focus on educating people about not using their cell phones while they're driving. And pedestrians, we're also noticing, we're watching our pedestrians even in crosswalks, we're watching them utilizing, not paying attention to traffic and paying attention to smartphones as an example. And in some cases, many cases, they're not using the crosswalks. They're crossing in, very dangerous in roadways. So we have to educate our folks. We really have to. We've been putting forth a campaign to try to get folks to look at it differently and to think differently when they're out there walking, driving, whether they're on a bicycle, motorcycle. It doesn't matter, but we've really got to get them to focus on slowing down and really paying more attention to traffic safety.
I have about a minute left, and as you said, you've been with the department for 34 years, and yet you are a new face to much of the public. What do you want people to know about you?
I want folks to know that I have been, for 34 years, a lifelong, well, at this point, as far as living in the county, that I am committed. My family has been raised there, and we love the Montgomery County. I have a high regard for the county because I think it's beautiful in many aspects with the diversity that we have in the county, and that needs to be highlighted. And I think that I want folks to know that I am committed to making a better police department. For us to better serve our community in a much more efficient way. I think we have a really good police department, but I want people to know that I know we can be better, and I've told our folks that we can be better. And I think they believe that, and they're going to work hard to that. So, I will commit myself wholly to that, during my entire tenure as the chief of police for Montgomery County.
Montgomery County Police Chief Marcus Jones, again, congratulations. Thank you for coming in, and good luck to you.
Thank you so very much, Harold. Thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, December 2nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.